You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really happy to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again today. He's here to talk about Irving Resources. The company trades in Toronto under the symbol IRV. You can buy it in the States down here as I have under the symbol IRVRF. I have 61.9 million shares. I think that's a correct number. Thereabouts, it was selling at around 89 cents in U.S. money earlier today when I checked it, giving it a market cap around 55 million in U.S. money. So it's a very small market cap company with some, I think, some really big upside potential. And Newmont Mining owns 14% of the company. You just heard our last guest talk about Newmont. It's beating the pants off the markets in general, up 10% or so. One of the strongest gold mining companies in the world. Newmont Mining owns 14% of this little baby, and the directors own around 11%, management and the directors. So this is a company I've been following for some time. It is focused on exploring silica-rich gold mineralization in Japan. And silica-rich ores are especially valuable in Japan because of that company's numerous melters, which use the silica as a flux in its copper recovery, in the recovery of copper. Its smelters use it. And this helps to really reduce the cost. It can enhance the economics of these projects because the silica itself is valuable, and the companies get paid for the silica as well as the gold, and they don't have to spend a lot of capital to build a mill because the smelters recover the gold for the company. So there's a lot to, I think, that really make this a very exciting story, I think, potentially. And the company's had a great deal of success so far in exploring these silica-rich deposits, and that's why we're really happy to have Quentin here to give us an update. Thanks for joining me, Quentin.
Thanks, Jay. Always a pleasure.
It's really good to have you with me. You know, the last time we talked, I think you talked about a December news release by the company in which it talked about a new discovery. Actually, it was sort of a hidden, one of these hidden hot springs discoveries, silica-rich discoveries that was buried underneath the one that you were exploring, and you were quite excited about that. And you even called it, I think, if I remember right, you talked about it being a possible game changer for the company. And I'm just wondering, do we have any news on that since then? I think you might have put a drill hole or two into it.
We did do some drilling this winter and spring. So yes, we completed two holes. We had some challenges. The rig broke down, and because of there were pretty strict COVID restrictions at the time, it was very difficult to get stuff happening and get parts and everything we needed. But we did get it fired up again in April, and we completed the second hole, I think, around the end of April. The other thing we faced is that COVID wave that swept through Japan. A lot of members of our team came down with COVID over about a four-week period, and that really hampered us a bit. But we did complete two holes. We've got several holes planned here. The first two holes came at the target area from the south, so they were drilling south and north. One of them, the first one that we drilled, I talked about in a news release, I think in March, maybe latter part of March, about the visuals. We saw a lot of veins and stuff, and that we're eagerly awaiting assays. We would probably have the assays back right now if it hadn't been for the COVID that swept through the crew. Basically, our SARs and everybody were out for the count for a few weeks. But we did get the samples into the lab, I think somewhere around the second week in May. And, you know, the lab turnaround right now is about 4 to 6 weeks once samples hit the lab. So I anticipate assays back from that hole probably within the next couple of weeks. The second hole was a little bit behind that, so I'm going to have to wait patiently. But again, it came at the system from the footwall, and it tested kind of the eastern part of the system. Both holes were very informative, but a lot of veins and alterations seen in both holes. But the next series of holes, the ones that we have planned from the north side, coming at it, you know, the humpy target from the hanging wall, those are the ones that I'm dead keen on. We have access in that area now. Just, you know, little game of 3D chess going on there with permitting and accessibility and having a pad available. We got a pad on that north side now, and we're able to drill those holes once this new rig gets in place. What we announced this morning is really super important for the company. Look, it's been a challenge. I'm not going to pretend. You know, COVID restrictions and stuff, it's been a challenge operating in Japan, mainly because of international travel, getting drillers in and out of the country. It's been a challenge on a number of other fronts too, you know, with the kind of keeping the group very tight together and not giving them access or not, having people go in contact with the greater community and stuff. But we managed to pull it off for 2 years. We got 2 years drilling completed during COVID, but now we're kind of looking at the situation going forward, and we're thinking, you know what, it's best to have an autonomous drill operation in country, in house. So we've committed to purchasing two rigs. We've got one rig that just left port in Vancouver out of a company called Geotech Drilling. They're affiliated with JDS, which a lot of people know. And those guys have bent over backwards to help us get a rig going over to Japan. That one, that A5 rig, is going to arrive sometime around the middle of July. And that's going to be the one we move up to site and we can resume drilling. We've also purchased a second rig through Bord Longyear out of Australia. That rig is supposed to arrive, I believe, in the third quarter, somewhere around maybe late August or early September is the last word I have. And that rig will allow us to drill other targets as well. So we can employ it down in Yamagana, for example. So these two rigs are basically going to belong to the company and be operated by an in-house drill team that we build over the next few months. So this is a big, big move for the company, but I think it's going to be more effective over the long run. It's very similar to the same strategy that Lion One has employed in Fiji, where they own and operate their drills. I think it'll save money. I think it'll be more effective. It'll help expedite exploration. It'll move things forward because we have two rigs. We can drill multiple targets. Gives us a lot more advantage than we currently have. So, you know, again, big step for the company, but it's going to pay off.
I believe Lion One has their own assay lab too. Is that something that might be in the future, or do you need to ramp things up a bit more before you do that?
We commit to building our own assay lab, but I do think the assay situations are going to improve. Look, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, I guess, right? I guess I advise people to believe it when they see it. But, you know, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt in the mining sector about, you know, the whole assay situation. And, you know, ALS and SES and all of these commercial labs, they realize what an absolute disaster assay turnaround has been. They've been making big moves to increase capacity here in the past few months, really since the beginning of the year. I think they're starting to take this, you know, this imminent bull cycle more seriously, and they're starting to ramp up capacity. Now, that coupled with the fact that the COVID restrictions by and far have fallen away, I think is going to help improve things dramatically, touch wood. But I think we will see, as long as it's really about getting the samples over the lab. If we can deliver the samples to the lab in Vancouver and, you know, in a timely fashion, and the lab starts to get its turnaround back to the more of the norm, which is about 4 to 6 weeks, I think we'll see an improvement there. I'm not too worried.
So you were able to tell something from the visuals. I guess judging from what you said, you're pretty pleased with what you saw. Now it's just a matter of whether or not they're mineralized.
We'll get the assays for these two holes. If we get hole one back here shortly, then we'll put a news release out around that. You know, but as soon as we have something in hand, we can talk more about it. But yes, visually, we were quite pleased with the drill holes that we saw, quite a few veins. The next holes, though, the ones from the north, I'm particularly excited about because we are drilling from what's called the hanging wall of the block. It's basically the down block, and that's usually where the more activity is. We had to get some access built in that area as far as drill pads and stuff. We have that now. We're going to be able to drill that starting in July. And that's if anybody looks back to our news releases with the figures, the cross-sectional figures that show you the target there, I think you'll understand what I mean. That's where all the activity is in this hydrothermal system from what we can see.
Right. If people want to visualize that, I guess that's on the website, at Irving website, right?
Correct. Yep. Irving.
Right. Excellent. Well, you in the news release today, you also talked about some of the other exploration targets. You mentioned Yamagano. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, look, Yamagano has been, we've been doing work down there for the past 6 or 8 months pretty consistently now. We've got in and did a gravity survey. We've done a magnetic survey. And we're now about to do a CSAMT survey. This is the survey that looks at the electrical properties of the rock, particularly the resistivity of the rock. And in epithermal systems such as this, silica, which is often very abundant around the hydrothermal system, shows up as a resistive feature. So it's been very effective in our exploration up at Omoi and Hokuri and elsewhere. We think it'll be very effective down at Yamagano. This CSAMT survey is going to be comprehensive. It'll cover the entire Yamagano district. And we're going to build a three-dimensional model that hopefully shows us the roots, the feeders, if you will, of these targets in depth, so we can better target these things with drilling. Again, you know, because we'll have two rigs now, this makes our life a lot easier. We'll be able to deploy one of the rigs down to Yamagano and be able to drill there at the same time we're drilling up at Omu.
Yeah. Well, you you know, you got people a little excited about the possibilities there. When you mentioned Fruta del Norte, I think you see geologically some similarities. Same. Of course, you know, time will tell, right? And that's what we're.
It will. No, I'm very confident that we're onto a big system there at Dev. I do think that these next few holes that we drill from the north are going to be critical. That look at those cross sections, and you'll see what I mean. That big feeder system in the hanging wall should be in that north area, just north of the Humpy vein. And I think that if we drill in that area, I think we'll hit the Fruta del Norte, hopefully analog, in, you know, that meaning a sheeted vein system, like an abundant vein system that maybe bulks out to a larger tonnage thing.
Well, we're certainly going to be watching with bated breath, no doubt about that. And I mean, Newmont Mining is in there. They're not going to fool around with a 1 million-ounce deposit. They're interested in your company in Irving because they see it has potential scale. And I know that's your philosophy. You don't get involved with things that don't have potential for world-class deposits. So
they stuck with us from day one, and they're, you know, I would anticipate them sticking with us going forward too.
Yeah, it's good to have a partner like that that you're working with. That's for sure. So financing, I mean, Newmont is there, no doubt, if it's need be. But what I think the company's okay financing wise.
Yeah, we have about $6.7 million at the moment, so we're in pretty good shape. You know, that said, traditionally what we've done with Newmont is every year we review our exploration program, and then they indicate if they'd like to fund further. So they're will likely be, just given that pattern, there will likely be another phase of finance. And, you know, that's a good thing. They're very supportive. They're very keen on what we're doing at Omu, but now with Yamagano and the progress we're making on geophysics, I think there will be a point here where it becomes very clear there's some high priority targets that need some drilling. So, you know, stay tuned. I think you'll see a lot of attention being given to that property in particular.
All right. Well, it's a really exciting story. I want to thank you, Quentin, for spending time to give us an update. Anything else, or that pretty much covers it for now?
Well, look, it's you know, I don't know what you think of the gold market here, Jay, but it looks like we have found some kind of floor, or if you will, I think, you know, we might have to be a little patient, but I think everybody in the gold space is patient. You know, they know this game. But I think that sometime in the next few months,
Those of us that are still hanging in there are patient, are the patient types, or we wouldn't be here. That's for sure.
Exactly.
You have some ideas that you express about the markets from time to time at the Crescat Gets Active weekly videos, YouTube videos as well. What do you have? The boom and the what's that model you have?
The bonk and boing phenomenon.
The bonk and boing.
We're basically, you know, the gold, the chart, if it hits that upward trending, line of resistance, which it has here recently, and it's bounced off of it, it can often tend to, take off in a big, big way. Now, everybody wants instant gratitude, gratification.
Yeah.
But, but that's not the way the gold space ever works. So my best guess and where I'm kind of putting my money is that sometime around late August to maybe end of October, in that window, is going to be the boing part of that chart, that we're going to see things take off. And, I guess my message based on that and where we're the kind of position we're taking here at Crescat is that this is the time to get well positioned in good stories and companies.
Yeah.
And it's in preparation for that hopefully euphoric period in which we can wake up every day and we feel like we're accomplishing something, Jay.
Well, indeed. And now is the time, because it's these kind of little small cap market companies. When things start to take off, there may not be any shares there at anything like the current prices. And we've seen it happen so often. When these little micro cap companies get hot and people get excited, as I think Doug Casey talked about it, something like Niagara Falls through a garden hose or something like that. So, all right, we'll have to leave it go at that, Quentin. Thank you so much for giving us this update. It's a very exciting story. Not a lot going on recently, but that could change very quickly. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks, we do have to go to break, but don't go away. Eric Coffin will be with me. He's a Hard Rock analyst, and he's going to talk to us. I'm sure he'll have some ideas about the boing and the bonk or whatever Quentin was talking about. So Eric will have some ideas about where he thinks the gold market's going. And Eric also has a lot of good insights into the workings of the financial markets as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Eric Coffin.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Reyna Gold is a newly listed company trading on the OTCQB under the symbol REYGF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol REYG. Its flagship asset, La Gloria, is a 24,000-hectare district-scale property in the prolific Mojave Sonora megashear in Mexico, between La Herradura, Mexico's biggest gold mine by Fresnillo, and El Chanate mine by Alamos Gold. La Gloria has very high-grade sampling and is in the first phase of a 10,000-meter drill program. The technical team is led by Dr. Peter McGaw, co-founder of Mag Silver, and Doug Kirwin, former VP of Ivanhoe Mines. Learn more at reynagold.com.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.